Fire district meeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's really happy for you.
There's no Lisa.
I didn't tell
no.
That,
Natalie's gonna be late.
Nice guy.
Okay. He really is.
I mean, really
he is
intense.
Lisa not
gonna be here tonight?
Maybe I'll get the wrong idea.
I haven't heard anything.
I've gotten to know him. He's really a sincere, nice person.
He is.
So, but he has nothing but great things to say about you, of course.
Yeah,
I do that.
He's been great to work for.
Yeah.
Sounded like the meeting was a little intense, though, with discussions on their budget. Is it the new chair?
Well, it's the new chair. The five managers.
Oh, okay.
I hope she's not in chambers.
Anyways.
Well,
I felt like we went to the right place. Got done with the problem.
So are you headed down tomorrow?
But I was really irritated. They just treated me.
She got it projected.
Where are you going?
I'm going tomorrow.
He's trying.
I'm going in the morning because
it feels like I just don't feel that
way about it.
He needs to get down there earlier. So.
I play this game with my friends. I tell them this.
I mean, I know I've seen you, but like,
boy, I'm a lot simpler.
Yeah, I'm not used to operating in that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's easier to remember, just to say what you mean and
try to,
yeah.
Mean what you say and then you don't have to worry about it.
I never had a knock on for that level of entry strategy.
Yeah, which will be really good. Every time I've gone to a lease conference and I see my door suddenly closed,
Welcome
everyone
to the work session.
Because I'm just a blunder
engineer. That's right out, right by the entrance.
Have the appetizers.
Yeah.
And every crack there before.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everything in that parking lot drains right from the entrance.
Thank you guys for taking some time out of your busy agenda tonight. My name is Kevin Kilpatrick. I'm a consultant with UDOT, so if you're not have anybody from UDOT actually with us tonight, UDOT project manager is Tiffany Pocock, and she had the good timing to plan a trip to the Caribbean this week, so she's delegated to myself and Tiffany, who's with WAC. So I work for HDR. We're the environmental consultant for the environmental impact statement. We're starting on I-15, and Katie works for WAC, so she's part of the public involvement group. So we're here to give you a quick presentation and hopefully answer any questions you got after that. Yeah, you're here after that, which we'll end the rest of the meeting. Next slide, please. So here's a brief overview of what we got on the agenda, just for the purpose, kind of a quick summary of what we know about it so far, and then give you guys how we're taking feedback between now and May.
I was just talking to your police chief, so I'm really sorry.
No problem.
I'm a little late, but happy to be here.
Happy to have you.
Even though
sit right at the table.
Even though you stole her, I'm still happy to be here.
Yeah, sit in one of these chairs.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
Yes, taking a little bit of a different approach on this one. As you guys may or may not be aware, they've recently updated what they call the quality of life framework. So that's kind of what we've hit on the slide here is better mobility, good health, connected communities, and strong economy. And they're really trying to use that framework for all their projects going forward. Have it not just be about roads. So better mobility, that's kind of saying it's, I mean, obviously cars is an important piece of that, but also connections to transit, pedestrian facilities, and bicyclist facilities is also wrapped into that. And they're obviously really interested in making sure the projects are connecting communities and supporting the economy and promoting good health. Next slide, please. So this, on the road side, this is kind of showing the study area for our project. And we're basically starting on the north. Oh, I had a magic finger. So we're going essentially from US 89 Legacy System Interchange Park, Farmington down to the, it's a little off screen here, but the I-80 400 South Salt Lake City area is kind of our southern terminus. So obviously North Salt Lake is included within that study area, the I-15 segment by North Salt Lake. And Ted already saw this a little bit, but just for clarity, our little pulled out on the east and west side, that's intended to try to capture the kind of interchange areas or where we may have improvements kind of outside the immediate corridor. So we're abstract art is, that's what's intended to be captured on that. Next slide, please.
Click on the arrow. No, yeah, that'll work.
Okay. So here's our overall study process. And as you can see here, we've kind of just barely started our environmental study. So NEPA is the National Environmental Policy Act, for those of you who may not be aware of that. That's kind of the federal environmental rule that UDOT's following on this. So we're currently in the purpose and need and scoping phase of the project. So we filed what's called a notice of intent, which is kind of the official, hey, we're doing the project, that goes into the Federal Register. So that went out at the end of March. And our official public comment period opened April 11th, and that runs through May 13th. And in that period, we're taking comment kind of on the scope of the project, purpose and need of the project, and how we're going to screen alternatives. So that's kind of what we're showing here on our first purpose and aid and scoping phase. And then, so after that, this year we're going to be working on developing alternatives. We're anticipating another public comment period towards the end of 2022 once we have some initial information for review related to alternatives. Then we'll be working after that on preparing the draft environmental impact statement. We're anticipating that'll be available 2023 timeframe. That'll be a minimum 45-day comment period at that point. And we take comments, making the revisions, the final EIS and record decision. Our goal is to have that completed in spring 2024 is our goal on the schedule. Next slide, please. So I'll do a quick summary of what we know so far related to the purpose and need. Next slide, please. So a few of the things that you guys are probably aware of if you drive this corridor all the time is there's quite a bit of aging infrastructure related to the pavement and structures. So the concrete pavement, especially just north here between Bountiful and Farmington, that's pretty much at the end of its 50-year life cycle, so it needs to be replaced. In addition to that, asphalt kind of has part of a 70-year life cycle, so there's quite a few segments there close to the end of that. That's more probably closer to this area than the Salt Lake segments in our study area. So UDOT will be looking at trying to address the aging pavement, and there's also several structures that are also in line for kind of near the end of their design life that we'll be looking at replacing and upgrading as well as part of the project. And this last graphic here is just saying there's a fair amount of drainage issues, that pipes are undersized or maybe not up to the current design standards. So as part of the project, we'd all be looking at trying to upgrade those where needed. Next slide, please. Another need for the project is the forecasted demand for travel and then corresponding increase in travel time. So this graphic is kind of showing what would happen to the travel times if we were to do nothing.
Wow.
So this is kind of showing the existing 2019 travel time tradition.
That's why I'm moving into 19 town.
19 minutes northbound in the afternoon, 18
smart.
Minutes southbound in the morning commute. And comparison to 2050 under the do nothing scenario, we're talking about a 66 minute or roughly a little over three times.
Cow. This is the why.
Afternoon commute.
I think in 2050, I'm still
is that because of volume?
Minutes.
Traffic volume during that?
Yeah.
Population.
I'll be home,
man. Did you factor in?
Did you want a dinner?
Autonomous driving cars.
That is not really tripping the model too much yet. I mean, it's certainly something that the state networks are also trying.
Because you know we get these crazy humans to stop doing this all the way down the freeway.
Yeah. So it does incorporate managed motorways as part of the no action future model, which means that the concept of that is right to try to push more of the delay onto the ramps and keep it off of the mainline freeway so that the mainline would work better conceptually if you could kind of limit the friction of the entry points. So that's kind of cooked into the model, but autonomous vehicles, my understanding is that's not really fully incorporated, but I think that certainly has the potential to be a big needle mover in terms of adding capacity to the existing
I heard a study a few years ago by UDOT, I think, about looking at the I-15 corridor, and they said right now it's averaging about 1,900 cars a minute or something like that. If we could
we could get everyone programmed, they could handle up to 4,000 without adding any lanes, just by not having, and we all know, we all see it, you know? Somebody jumps out at the last minute to get around.
I think a lot of it's, right, it's following distance too. All the cars are talking to each other, you don't necessarily have to have as much space at higher speeds, so. I know that's definitely something everybody's looking at, just, I think it's still a little far out in the future in terms of being able to plan around it at this point.
I'm just gonna say, I went to a conference at Weber State here a couple of years ago, I guess it's probably been now, with the drones and the commuter drones and stuff. I know UDOT sponsored that, and they were showing, they said 2025, so.
For the drone rollout?
Yeah, they said they thought they'd have some in the air, at least going from the airport to downtown Salt Lake by 2025. And they've got it all mapped out on how they're gonna, you know, they'll use their own channels, just like cars do, but, you know, they go to one point and take a different direction, so they're not crashing into each other, but it's kinda interesting. I don't know if that's ever planned any of this yet.
Drones for transportation?
Yeah.
So they're carrying a human?
Yeah, they said they, 2025, which isn't that far away, and I was really surprised, and they're out there, their country's using them now.
You know, in the 60s, George Jetson in the 90s had flying cars, so we're way behind schedule.
What you're really talking about is a jetpack. I just want my jetpack.
Back to the future, we're way behind on that one. Yeah.
Also, as part of the project, we're also gonna be looking at interchange needs. This is both capacity and any potential modifications or changes to access, so I know you guys have that somewhat unusual single off-bound ramp at center, but we've also heard from Representative Ballard, there's interest in that, potentially a new access or change down South 26 or South Center, so we're certainly gonna be looking into those types of things as part of this project as well. Next slide, please. And also, other needs related to the project are safety. As you guys are probably aware, a lot of this South Davis area was, had a project a few years ago where they put the HOV lanes in, and now a lot of the shoulders off the inside lane are what you would consider to be substandard, so it's not, they're not wide enough where a car could pull off and put into the emergency, so they'll be looking at whatever they rebuild to try to meet all the safety standards as much as possible. And a couple other safety-related issues are a couple of the, what they call the S-curves, the ones kind of the one that goes under the bridge, the other one's kind of the westbound fourth north, fifth west area. It goes over by the rail with that left exit. Those are kind of two that are not designed for the current freeway speed, so those are something that we're looking at trying to for safety is the project. These are, this is kind of the crash cluster data to show where the higher frequencies of crashes are on I-15 at the corridor.
The left one is northbound and the right one is southbound.
I would suspect the off ramp.
Southbound and northbound.
The southbound off ramp going into Bountiful.
Yeah, we have to cross over and.
Well, anytime you exit in the fast lane, everyone slows down there.
Yep.
Looks like the biggest one's right over North Salt Lake. There.
Yeah.
215 interchange.
26 south.
There's a lot of.
The S curve that's right there.
I texted him.
Okay. Next slide, please. And also the other news is kind of limited connections, both road and kind of active transportation. These are other things we're looking at, is just trying to, how do we best get people across I-15, particularly and foot bike. So we did do some early smart road and kind of community workshops, and I know Ted was a part of this, and Sherry walked on this, so it's kind of helpful to go out and try to navigate these things on foot, just to see, especially some of the DDI interchanges that are out there now are certainly not the most straightforward or comfortable for people on foot or on bike to get through. So again, you guys are looking at trying to make those safer and friendlier.
It's currently in place at 26
seconds. That's related to the same point, just where are the connections now? How can we make them safer? And are there additional connections that may be needed? Because really, this is kind of a generational project for this area, for this segment of I-15. So, you guys interested in trying to make sure they as well as possible? Next slide, please. This is kind of photo showing one of our walk audits, is what we're calling them, where we're going out. This one's on Parish Lane. But yeah, it was like eye-opening to go out and do it on foot to see. See how it felt from the sidewalk perspective going through there.
And how did it feel?
So the DDI especially is pretty funky because you have to, you guys have done that, you have to go the DDIs, like the 26 South or 500 South without that dual diverging interchange. And I think it's 26. You actually have to go out into the island in the middle between the traffic.
It's going. A scary walk.
That's a scary walk.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's
never a dull moment if you're a pedestrian there.
There's a way through, but it's kind of like playing for everyone.
I don't mean to stop your presentation, but I have a question. We had some wrong way traffic, and was it with the 2600 South? And somebody was heading south when they meant to be heading. Was it Park? What was
Park
it?
I think
the last two have happened at Park Lane.
Is it Park?
I think.
Okay. Because that, you know, there are a couple things about that I'm just going to mention.
Yeah.
It's confusing, those double diamond things. And then the roads aren't painted. And so you really don't know where you're supposed to be going based on the painting. And I'm wondering if in the winter or whatever, I'm not expecting us to have elevated like you have in California because of winter conditions, but can't we paint in such a way that maybe it's a different color, that you're going to go the purple route and that's where that goes?
something that gives,
because it's very confusing.
Yeah, better reflectivity or better,
yes.
Better coloring or something.
Yeah.
That makes it stand out. Yeah, I know in general, UDOT doesn't do kind of things elevated.
Right.
Like yours, just because they get scraped off by the snowplows.
I think I may have sent you a comment on that on the survey already. So
great.
I was the one that was kind of ornery.
Hey,
I wasn't.
Seems like the news has been reporting a lot of the wrong way this last couple of months.
Yeah,
I'm quite surprised.
That's where we've seen the causes of.
I saw a couple. The most recent were DUI, but
yeah.
Wrong way and incredibly dangerous. And I think in both cases, deputies had to use their own vehicles to
stop
crash.
Them.
Yeah. Super.
I had a brother-in-law from Canada that flew into the airport, and somehow he got the wrong way. And
on
I
the
keep,
freeway?
On the freeway. I keep looking every time I drive to the airport. I think, how did he do that? I mean, you know, he figured it out soon enough. He got turned around and didn't cause anything. He wasn't drunk or anything, you know. But I was really surprised. I don't know how he did it. I keep looking.
Oh, because there's so.
Even when you're familiar, you can still do it wrong if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm super familiar, but if I'm not paying attention, I can still get it wrong.
And that's probably what the DUIs are telling us right now. That if you're not paying full attention when you're driving, it's easy to make a mistake.
Well, then you don't figure it out soon enough. That's the difference between somebody just making a mistake. They figure it out in a hurry, going, uh-oh, gotta get out of here or pull off the side. But
the drunk driver's like, why are all these cars going the wrong way?
Here's our list of resources we're anticipating that will be included in our impact statement. So I'm gonna read through here, but give us some, or take a comment on it, see something that's not on there that should be. Take that into consideration. Yes, ma'am.
How is the study being funded, and how much is the study costing?
So I believe the funding right now is all state funds through the UDOT's capacity program. I'm not sure if that's under the state program or which exact funding source, but it's all state funded right now.
Uh-huh.
And I believe the line item was somewhere in the $8 to $10 million range.
Okay.
That also includes, that's not just the environmental, it's also preliminary engineering and right-of-way design and other stuff. So
okay.
It's traffic modeling and all that stuff. So it's not just the environmental side of it.
Yeah.
right, thank you, Katie. Give you guys the change up here.
All right, so like Kevin said, we are in the middle of a public comment period. We launched on April 11th and it will run through May 13th. And what we're looking for feedback on at this point in the study, since we're just barely launching this effort, is we want feedback from the public on our purpose and needs statement, the draft purpose and needs statement, and then our draft screening criteria, and then just overall things about I-15. What's working for you? What's not working for you? What challenges are you running into when you travel on through the corridor? So that's our ask right now. Next slide. I'm gonna show you a few slides that go into our draft purpose and needs statement. We develop, when we're planning for these projects and in these studies, we develop what's called a purpose and needs statement. That is the measures that we're trying to and our goals that we're trying to accomplish through this study. This is trying to address why we're doing this study, and then when we start looking at alternatives and solutions, if those solutions don't meet that criteria, that purpose and needs statement, then that helps us screen those out as not something that's not going to work. So this is our purpose statement. So this is, and I'll go through these. So jot down any questions you have, and then we can get back to them at the end. But the purpose is to improve safety, replace aging infrastructure, provide better mobility for all travel modes, strengthen the state and local economy, and better connect communities along I-15 from Farmington to Salt Lake City. The project purpose consists of the following items, which are organized by UDOT's quality of life framework, categories of good health, connected communities, strong economy, and better mobility. So then under each one of the quality of life goals, so good health, connected communities, we kind of have sub-statements underneath there that tie to that particular quality of life goal. So under good health and connected communities, we're looking to improve safety and operations of mainline I-15, the interchanges, bicyclists and pedestrian crossings, and the supporting roadway network. We're trying to be consistent with planned land use, growth objectives, and transportation plans, and that includes the planned land uses and transportation plans of our partnering cities, like you guys. And then enhance access and connectivity to Front Runner, connection to transit, regional trails, and across I-15.
Can I ask a question on this one?
Mm-hmm.
So the quality of life framework talks about multimodal. The main component that is discussed so far about multimodal is the crossing of I-15. And I'm just trying to understand, should we think of this as an I-15 project or as a corridor bigger than I-15?
I think it's, you can answer this probably better than I, but I think we're looking a lot to connections to regional trails, connections to and improvements to pedestrian and multimodal facilities. And then, you know, we've noticed some areas that there's some really big barriers to east-west connectivity, and looking at ways that we can improve that.
Tiffany's answer to that, Ted, is typically something along the lines of it's an I-15 and project. So we want to make sure we're fixing I-15 well, but and are we also fixing the other stuff? I mean, it's definitely got a bias of I-15, right? That's going to be the primary focus. But to the extent there's the easiest one, I can't remember if you did the 500 South, but there's really no good walk tour, but there's no real good trail to the Front Runner station, right? And it's like, okay, so to the extent, whether it's I-15 or 500 South, can we build a better 10-foot sidewalk, multi-use trail or something, or those types of things, right? What's kind of easy low-hanging fruit? Now, we're not necessarily, I don't think UDOT's coming into this saying we're going to build a brand new trail network for Davis County as part of the project, right? But are there some key pieces or key links that we can make working with the existing? I mean, you guys have been part of this the South Davis active transportation plan, right? You know, are there things along I-15 that make sense that can be done as part of that, that kind of support that, knowing that there's maybe future trails or future connections or stuff coming along
future
the way.
Bridges, you know.
So that's, I think that's where they're coming into it. So it's, I mean, it's not a hard yes or hard no on something, but it's, I know Tiffany's heard from both North Salt Lake and Salt Lake of an interest in some sort of a north-south. I mean, you guys already have a piece of it along the frontage road. So, I mean, I think she's interested in looking into ways to make that connection into Salt Lake. But that's about the only one I've heard of that's maybe like a longer piece, but certainly to the extent that there's ways of getting people across, under, over. I mean, she definitely wants to do a good job on that.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, next slide. Strong economy and better mobility. So replace aging infrastructure on I-15. This statistic was interesting to me. 35 bridges on the corridor, 9 of which are at their life expectancy, correct?
Nearing the end of their,
nearing the end
design
of their
life.
35 bridges.
And 9 of them. And then a lot of the bridges and stuff that are in the corridor won't accommodate additional widening. So there's a lot of infrastructure there. And then enhance the economy by reducing travel delay, improve mobility and operations on I-15 mainline, I-15 interchanges, the supporting roadway network, transit connections, and bicyclists and pedestrian facilities to help accommodate projected 2050 travel demand. So that is the next slide. That's our purpose and need statement. The second kind of thing I was telling you that we were looking for feedback on is our screening criteria. So screening criteria is those measures that we establish with which, when we start developing alternatives and potential solutions, that we will use to screen out those. It's a, like you see here, kind of a wide funnel. You start with all of your concepts, and then as you narrow down and use those screening criteria, you rule out those ones that don't meet the goals of the study. Some sample screening criteria could be, some of these metrics could be, does the alternative meet UDOT safety standards? Is there enough room on the shoulder to get a car out of the way? Is there enough acceleration, deacceleration space? What about site distance? Also, does the alternative meet operational standards? Can the alternative be designed to reduce conflicts between motorized and non-motorized modes? And then also one of them could possibly be, does the alternative improve bicycle and pedestrian accommodations at cross streets and interchanges? So these are all kind of samples and things that we're thinking of and we would like your input on to, because this is eventually how we will measure and come to that final alternative there.
Yeah, I'll just throw in, there's a full memo related to this, so it's not just the graphic, but it's available on the website for those who are into some exciting reading.
So next slide. So just now, ways to submit a comment. Again, this comment period is open until the May 13th. This is not the last time that we'll come to you and come to the public and ask for feedback during this study. This is just the first time that we're here, and we'll be in communication and contact with you throughout the 2 years that we're working on this. We have a website. That's probably the easiest place to leave a comment. There's an interactive GIS map that you can just drop a pin and enter a comment there. But for those that prefer more traditional means, we take mail, and we have our hotline there. And additionally, anyone needing special accommodations can call the hotline, and we can accommodate them there. So, next slide. So just again, this is where we're at, purpose and need and screening criteria and scoping. We'll move into alternatives development next, and that is looking to be the end in the fall, correct?
It's our goal.
So And then looking to wrap up the study by 2024. Next slide. These are a number of ways that you can contact us. And we also have a Facebook group that you can join, and we'll be interacting with the public there, posting updates on the study. And so I encourage you all to join that. And additionally, if you have, you can share it with your office staff, and if they get calls, they can direct those directly to us. So that concludes the last slide. That concludes our presentation, and yeah, I'd be happy to take any questions that you have.
Can I ask you one? Well, I was going to qualify the question, but I won't. Can you describe how the decision is made to bless the purpose and need? Who's involved in that, or how does that actually happen?
So me and my team write it, then it goes through Brandon and his group and Tiffany. They beat it up for a little while.
That's UDOT.
Yeah, so UDOT beats it up. We go through two or three rounds, then we put it out here. UDOT also has a legal either AG or a contract attorney typically that'll review that before it goes out for public review. So now we've kind of gone through that sausage making. It's out now for public agency interested party review. So we take comments on that, and then our team and UDOT and whoever else they choose to engage at that point says, here's how we address it. And it's also, that ends up being the first part of the actual draft environmental impact statement. So it's still can be commented on and revised at that stage too. So sweet. That's kind of, did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
It's not formally
blessed until it's in the draft, yeah. EIS. But
do you mind if I comment on that though?
Sure.
It seems to me the purpose statement, I haven't looked, but it somewhat tracks and mirrors some of the statutory purposes and authorizations that UDOT is under.
Yeah, UDOT's trying to be consistent, right?
So it kind of matches some of those the legislature's purposes in having UDOT do projects.
The intent is obviously try to be consistent with where the money's coming from, what it's intended to do, and obviously the DOT is there for transportation, so it's obviously trying to be aligned with their mission.
So what is a realistic start and finish date?
So our understanding, Mayor, is that funding for construction would not be available before 2026. So I think that would probably be the earliest. And it depends when the EIS is done, and then there's usually the funding and UDOT calls their procurement, right? Usually it takes anywhere from 9 to 12 months or longer just to go through the process to hire a contractor and get them
on
board.
And then projection on, is it a 2-year project, a 5-year project?
We don't know. My speculation just from being in the industry is it'd probably be at least a 2 or 3 year, given, obviously there's a lot of back and forth in terms of
they seem to
minimizing
the
MOT.
They've done a pretty good job in the Utah County corridor getting through. St. George has been under construction since I was a kid.
Probably the big discussion before they would say on that would just be really looking hard at the maintenance of traffic, right? Of how many lanes would they give the contractors as far as how many are they going to require them to keep open during all or parts of the process. That's going to be a huge deal in terms of the schedule, in terms of how that would
probably will impact our Highway 89 from time to time, legacy highway.
I have a question. So in those decision criteria that you'll filter down different ideas through to see if they match like the, connected communities, good help. I also value those things, and I think those are important criteria, but I additionally value aesthetics. I think that an interchange that has a little bit of work in concrete work or landscape work makes it blend into the environment easier. I think it can boost the economy instead of being an eyesore in the neighborhood. And I didn't see where one of those criteria would really bring up the question of like, aesthetically, what is this gonna do to the neighborhood? It could be in the economy, it could be in the environmental impact. It could be a good health because I think people are more willing to walk around an interchange that's attractive than one that looks less attractive, just really basic concrete. So is there a place that is added in there? Where would you pick up that, like, hey, all else being equal, let's make it pretty?
It's not really part of the purpose and need per se, mm-hmm. but it's, so UDOT does have a aesthetics policy that they're kind of, I'll say bound by, but it's, you know, they're required to follow for the projects. And
sure. Okay.
Kinda, it basically, what it does is it designates a certain percentage of the project funds for aesthetics, and then typically UDOT will, you know, on a corridor like this, they'll say, okay, Farmington, you get two interchanges, Centerville, you get one, North Salt Lake, you get one, and they'll kind of split that money proportionate. But it's, and usually they try to, in my experience, try to keep some consistency throughout the corridor where it's not apples and oranges different in one city versus the other.
So do the cities make the decisions about what those
will look like? Well, I think they go to the cities and say, how much do you want to pay?
They take care of it.
They participate. Typically, they'll say, "Here's our budget," and you. Some cities. So I've been involved with the West Davis project, and some cities may say we like signing more, or we want more plantings or landscaping, and usually, you know, there's some give and take on that too in terms of if it's like a landscaping thing. Usually, you ought to want the cities to maintain the maintenance of that. They may pay for it, but they may want the city to own the long term management of it. So there's. They have their pot of money that kind of comes along with it, but there are opportunities for cities or, you know, other people to chip in more if they want it to be kind of above and beyond the what comes with the project funding.
Great, thank you.
I'm just going to tag on to that. It's like the first thing people see is the on and off ramp, mm-hmm. if they're coming to
every
check
city,
out.
Yeah.
And there is a big difference in Davis County with, I didn't know cities can choose to participate, but I am now forming strong opinions about the city where I live. Horrible. And I don't understand it. And it's like the first thing I said when I was a city planning commissioner. This is the first thing, you know, this is the gateway to your city, and we don't look so great. So, I think you brought up a good point. And anytime you travel, you'll see where they've taken that into consideration, and small things can make a very big difference.
Cedar City's done a good job
So Woods Cross and North Salt Lake participated with 26 South. That landscaping that you see around that interchange was participation by both cities and UDOT. We did some of that on the new bridge over 215 on Redwood Road. It's a little harder to see. In that case, but
is it landscaping or
it was landscaping and
zero-scaping.
It's drought tolerant / recently passed away planting. But I think that's a great point.
So usually it's more kind of after the environmental, but before the design is where more of the nitty gritty details get worked out on that. The environmental is more concerned with, say, the footprint or what if any other buildings, wetlands, whatever's being impacted. And usually part of that's with the design build, meaning the contractors have a little bit of leeway to tweak stuff. They don't necessarily want to get to the final design level detail.
And those are usually really pretty minor adjustments that make something pretty or not.
Right. Yeah, if it's, you know, you need a 10-foot wall, but what does it look like, right?
Yeah.
It's the contractor cares first about the 10-foot wall, and then,
exactly.
then it's like, just tell me what pattern or what. How you want it to look. So that's stuff that usually gets worked out a little bit later in design.
This project doesn't go up to Kaysville, does it?
No, just south of
Kaysville. Yeah, well, I live in the city with the K. We can help them help them figure out how to make nicer.
You want some things. Athletics.
There's another project on the plan for that for the segment between Farmington and I-84, so they're on the list, just not just outside of the
this particular.
Mayor, do you mind if I make one comment that the council should know? So this public comment period, it's important for North Salt Lake to put some comments on the record. And so just so you know, I've made some notes on what your comments have been tonight, but also we'll have a draft comments for your approval on your next council meeting. So May 3rd, we'll bring a document to the council. And I'll probably be emailing it before then so you can have some input. But it's really important that we get our concerns on the record at this stage. And even Tiffany has reminded me, because we're working together on the bridge, And she said, you know, make sure your city doesn't miss that window to put your comments on the record. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a heads up that we'll be doing that.
It sounds like Representative Ballard has covered it. But
can you, I don't know what she requested or what the conversation is about the additional.
There, I think the original thought from UDOT was, let's get rid of the Center Street exit.
Okay.
Just totally get rid of it.
Okay.
Because it's unusual to have an exit and not an on-ramp. But my feeling is, well, let's keep our exit even if we don't get an on-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it'd be great to have an on-ramp.
Well, years ago, they had the design to put a connection between I-15 and Legacy. And I saw the drawings, and I thought that's what was going to solve our Center Street problem, and then all of a sudden just kind of disappeared. Just waiting for the funding, waiting for everything to happen. Somehow somebody stuffed it in a drawer, and somebody cleaned out the drawer, I guess. I don't know.
And that's important to remember with any of these study processes. It's always contingent on funding and you know, moving to the next step and things, and so, and not that it is going to happen in this case, but you know, there's always the new no build alternative.
Yeah, but well, they had it designed to the point that you could see the drawings. I mean, it was you know, the connection right there where the freeway basically going the freeway southbound, then there was an on ramp that would take you across I-15 and connect you up to the 215, and then you could get out to the Legacy, or you could get south on 215. Yeah. It was a good idea.
Flyover.
Yeah, and it was solve our Center Street problem that we've had for years with the trains, and it's just getting worse. And I thought it was a great idea, but then all of a sudden it seemed like nobody knew anything about it. It's like we're just waiting for it to happen. We know it goes slow. It's a lot of money. I think part of the money went to fighting the Legacy's lawsuits, but
a lot of money.
Yeah. So just so I'm clear, are you referring more to the I-15, I-215 interchange, or the Legacy?
Well, it'd be I-15, 215 intersection.
Just making that where you have all four or all full connections.
Right. But once you connect to 215, then that puts you out to Legacy and to our west side of our city.
It also makes sense at that point to have the, if you're going west on 215, to be able to get north on Legacy.
Right, but then our Center Street problem we have, the trains come, they park on the tracks, they can park there for a long time, and pretty soon, you know, we've got cars that are backed all the way up to the highway, and it's just a real mess. And of course, it's been that way for years and years. You can go back into the 60s, and people are talking about putting a phone booth down there to call somebody, you know, way before we had cell phones. So, you know, I know it's been that a problem going back that far, you know. So.
It's still coming. Just installed by a train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for your reference, to Representative Ballard's expressed interest in having a new access somewhere south of Center Street, kind of near the area where 89 ramps.
Access to I-15?
Mm-hmm. I-15 and to 215, so that way we don't have to worry about the Center Street problem, because you'd get on 215 and go west and then get off on Redwood Road. See, that would solve the Center Street issue.
There is an exit already on Redwood Road.
Yeah.
From 215.
Yeah, so we just have to get to that.
But there's not a way to get from northbound I-15 onto the 215, is there?
No.
It only goes one direction.
No, there's not.
No, but there's... The plan was to get on also between there, but also to get on from Highway 89.
Yeah, have like a connector.
To 215.
Yeah.
And that would solve our Center Street problem, and that's what we were kind of counting on. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, why you guys need plan in the future? You know, this is such a mess. And it's like, well, we thought it was planned. Somebody scrubbed the plan or stuck one drawer, and it still might be out there in somebody's drawer, you know? You know, I'm thinking it was far enough along they'd spent a lot of money to design it.
I've seen the Legacy ones, the two missing ramps on Legacy. I know they did that as part of the Legacy study.
Yeah.
What are the two missing ramps?
So if you're going west on 215 to north on Legacy.
West on 215. Okay,
So you can't do that movement right now, and you can't go south on Legacy to east
on
215.
That would have been part of that same project, because the idea was is to come up I-15, and if it was clogged, you could move over to Legacy.
You have to think about which way you're going.
Yeah.
I've seen the Legacy ones. I know they were.
So are they in the plans? Is that?
I believe it is on the long range
Yeah, it's a project on the long-range plan, but the traffic counts that I've seen just show really low projected counts, which is probably why it never moves up or down.
Well, part of the thing was it was the idea of you'd have Legacy as your backup if I-15 had a crash or something. Then you can move everybody over to Legacy off of I-15.
You still can, you just have to do it on the 80.
Well, but if you're...
Like, when I come from downtown, or like if I'm coming like from Sandy or something, and I don't get on the 215 early, it sends me across the 80 to the 215 to get to my house.
Yeah.
And that's why the numbers were so low.
Warm Springs Road.
She's talking about.
I do all the time.
Because we've already, we've figured
that's
out the workaround.
Right now, but this other one would be a nicer solution.
And additionally to, you know, the comments that you're providing us as a city, if there's other areas in the corridor that you've noticed, you're like, every time I come here at 2 o'clock, there's traffic or slowing or this, you know, you're also welcome to leave comments as individually as well.
We'll ask them to clean up case before.
Please.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Well, thank you so much
for
coming.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot.
So Katie visited our senior lunch bunch last week, which was thrilling for her, I'm sure.
I love the senior lunch bunch.
Yeah, it was great. They had some great questions, too.
They did.
But did they have good food?
And they're such a great group. That is an amazing service that you guys provide. And you can see that they really thrive and rely on that for that connection. So it made me happy.
Well, it was a great group to visit.
Yeah.
They care about this stuff too.
Do you have it here in this building?
Mm-hmm, it's right in the chambers. They have one.
You just have to be careful not to refer to anybody as guys if there's ladies at the table. I made that mistake when I went to one of those. I went up and go, hi, how are you guys doing? And they just scowled at me and went, we're not guys. Oh, sorry.
We feel the same, Stan.
Figure of speech. I'll never do that again.
Thank you.
Thanks for dinner, too.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll travel safe tomorrow, too.
Tyler?
Well, I have more than enough to share in a very short amount of time. Okay. So I can click it. Yep.
Or
I can do it. So thank you, first of all, for letting me come and give you guys kind of an update on the golf course. I want to start off with thanking you all for allowing us to hire another maintenance employee. It meant a lot to Weston, who's our longest tenured employee at the golf course. I would have a lot of issues hiring temporary time, part-time time, and allowing us to hire Jordan is going to really help us, especially going into this drought year and the changes we're going to be trying to making. So right now we have 6.5 full-time employees on the golf course. It includes half-time fleet mechanic that's helping with this on our equipment, 15, 20 seasonal employees. And then we just moved Tracy Jump in to help with the event center and coordination. So she's working part-time there and has been great. She's been helping me for a week and she's awesome. So have Brent up there, head golf pro, and then we have our assistant Alan, my post op staff, and then down here is just our cart kicks, and then down below there's our maintenance staff. So we kind of have a breadth of knowledge here, and from young to old, and lots of good things going on the golf course. I know I don't have a ton of time, but I'd like to maybe just run through and give you an overview where the golf course is at year to date for the fiscal year. And then maybe just open up for the last few minutes for questions, if you guys would like to know something in particular. These are a lot of numbers, but if you'll focus kind of on the bottom as we're going through, so FY21 record year there. We're actually almost right on, if not just a little bit better than that fiscal year coming into the end of the year here. Obviously we have May and June, which are big golf months, and then the rest of April as well. So I've got us projected, as you'll see as we go through a couple more slides, just a hair below that 70,000 round mark. I think we'll be in the 68,000 nine-hole rounds for the fiscal year, which is a great year. We've had less playing rounds, playing days, so a little bit worse weather this fiscal year compared to a great year last year. So this just gives you an idea of a graph more on years. So you can't see below. This is FY 2021, 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, and then this is where we're at year to date on the fiscal year. So we're almost already at our 5-year average with 2.5 months left. So we're doing pretty well there. So these are just some projections. So I took what we had for this year and then added the average in for last of April and May over the last 5 years. And then this one is previous years, May and June added into kind of projecting where we might be at there. And again, I think that's a little bit low with where we have what we have left in April. So I'm hoping to get to that 68,000 mark. Next one, this is more our revenue. So obviously last year, almost nearly 1.9 million, projecting to be just at that, or if not just a little higher. We're at almost 1.3 now with 10 days left in April, and then May and June as well. So we're, if I look at year to date, so last fiscal year through April 20th, or April 19th, we're 80,000 ahead of last fiscal year. So again, like I said, we're just a little bit ahead of last year and in good shape for the rest of the year. I have the next one there. And then this is, again, similar to the round slides, just some previous years. We're already above our 5-year average, 2.5 months left. And then the rounds one will kind of show you the same thing. So, yeah, so the 70,000 ahead of previous year, that number one. So, rest assured, we're doing the best we can. We've got the simulators coming in. We'll touch on construction. Just a lot of good things coming to Eaglewood with the event center. Remodel the building. I think it's only going to help us now. So we'll go to the next one. And I don't want to cut into the regular session. So again, just these are some more projections. So this is current fiscal year with last 5-year average, last 2 months. And then this is this current fiscal year with last fiscal year's last 2 months. Kind of projecting. So,
Wendy, can you move that black bar down a little bit?
You can drag it. Click on it and drag it.
You can move it.
Yeah, so,
there we go.
So, this fiscal year with May and June of last fiscal year basically is what this number is looking at. So, hopeful with other ancillary stuff with our simulators, cell phone towers, rents will be right just above that $2 million mark. With this is just golf and event center. So, looking pretty good. Let me go ahead and go to the next. We'll kind of fly through some of these. I want to just touch on, this is merchandise. I'm projecting us to be about just a little under 300,000 for merchandise revenue. So last year, obviously a record year, 214. We'll increase that again already. We're almost nearly there with, as you can tell, two pretty good months of merchandise sales coming up. So,
that's like t-shirts.
Yeah, clubs. T-shirts, golf gloves, hats, headwear, golf bags, everything we sell.
Overpriced
golf
shops.
Gloves.
Tees.
Yeah, golf balls.
It's a lot of tees.
Yeah, lots. Okay, we're good there. Give you an update on some current projects. We've purchased half heads, so we'll be working a lot this spring and summer and converting some of these full circle heads. And if you're not familiar with those, they're just basically turning a sprinkler head that turns full circle into doing kind of a half moon shape. So we're not irrigating the other half or areas we don't need to. Transitioning.
So does that mean that the roads aren't gonna get watered?
We hope not. Yeah. this summer we're
gonna contingency plan for
yes.
the roads.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it in the regular session, kind of where we're cutting out some water as well. But I won't go through all these, but just kind of some minor and major projects that we've got going on this year. And again, what you allowed us to do with our second assistant on the superintendent side will help us to be able to accomplish these things this year, and really a lot of it's focused on water, so we'll be able to do a lot there. Go ahead. This is Elisa's project that she kind of handed over to me, but it's her grand idea. So when we initially met, when we're talking about kind of growing junior golf, and I think that's a big objective for all of us. We talked about how Ski Utah allows all the fifth and sixth graders to either ski for free or a very low cost program And some of you have heard about this, and some of us have talked about it, but kind of implementing something for all of North Salt Lake elementary kids by fifth and sixth grade to be able to come up to Eaglewood, experience that for free. We want them to kind of get engrossed and learn golf and be able to play. So we've kind of developed this little program where we offer them a punch card. They get three punches, so three nine-hole rounds, Monday through, I think we've got Wednesday. So basically during the summer, they can come play three times. We'll have rental clubs available for them. Hopefully they'll bring friends, family, parents, grandparents up to kind of enjoy Eaglewood. We want, I think my goal with this is to get those that don't know we have a golf course in North Salt Lake to realize that they have somewhere to go to play. I would guess that there's a good percentage of people that live in North Salt Lake, especially in Foxboro, that don't know that we have a golf course in North Salt Lake. So we can answer questions on that maybe towards the end, but let's jump through. I want to give you just a quick update on construction. So they're making some progress, and if this is just for your memory here, this is a rendering of the exterior. Some of the softened fascia will be more bronze color, and this is a little more light white oak color, but it gives you a good idea of what the exterior will look like. We've kind of finished the outbuildings, so the on-course restrooms. They need new roofs, so we got new roofs, paint. We've remediated, so taking all the mold out of the snack shack. It has been open for 12 years, so we're hoping to get that open in the next couple weeks to serve stuff out of there. New drinking fountains with water bottle fillers, just some really nice features in there from a customer experience there. It's hopefully a little cleaner and nicer. And some of the inside of the golf field, the clubhouse is torn off, so we've got the two office, lower office buildings torn apart, the kitchen is torn apart, even the next slide you can show maybe there that they've started framing, electrical plumbing is going on now, we're focusing on there and then the exterior. Then we kind of got a schedule with a couple slides here. I can just kind of scroll through these. The deck's being torn off. The exterior off the cafe is just about ready to be torn off. This is kind of a rough schedule for where we're going to be at. They're starting, like I mentioned, in the kitchen, a simulator room, drywall next week. And then they also start some exterior demo on the far west side and kind of work their way on the building. The roof will be repaired starting this Friday they'll start demoing the roof. So moving slower than I'd like to. Now that they've got their contractors scheduled, we're kind of rolling. We're going to get moving on it. So they've been good now that they've actually got a people scheduled to go. So just an idea of kind of a tentative schedule where things will be open. We're going to jump back to the event center and pro shop this fall once we kind of get through our golf tournaments and busier season. They've told me about a month and a half for the event center. So we're kind of projecting October 1st and November 15th, event center being closed for renovations. Kind of gives an idea there. And I think I'm just about any time. Does anybody have any questions on these? I'm happy to share any of these or answer anything outside of the meeting as well. But I know that was quick. I tried to run through it.
Impressive.
Okay. And then in the regular session, like I talked about, I'll mention some water conservation stuff. And at least as part of our golf meeting, that golf committee meeting will go through and talk about water to golf course.
Thank you.
All right. Let's
thanks, Tyler.
Take 5 minutes and we'll start at 5 minutes.
Tyler's been here 2 years. And you can see from the revenue.
I have my youth city council and my Baptist minister out there.
Yeah,
I understand. Yeah, they're presenting today.
Oh, good. Listen.
Make more money now. She told me a little bit about some of the contract changes.
Trying to remember
yes.
your
it's been really positive.
Your grant.
It's very positive.
We took event center away from the concessionaire.
There you go.
Like the mountain.
Because they were just
yeah,
not
and
very,
I would have easily gotten a multiple choice.
Didn't know it used to be with your
How old is it now?
Tracy Jump, who he mentioned, that we hired